morning. Thank you, praise team. We'd like to take a minute to introduce our president of our denomination, Reverend David Hearns, and his wife, Agnes. Would you like to stand up? I'm not sure how to be a president's wife. Agnes, you must be a very special woman. And Reverend David Hearns, before he became our president, he was a DS, district superintendent in BC, for almost a decade, and now he's our president. As an Alliance pastor, myself, I believe him being our president, this is the best time. We need someone like him. We need someone like him who has a mission in his heart. He's on fire. You will see it later. You know, it will ignite everywhere he goes. And we just want to say thank you for him coming to worship with us today. Remember last year when we had a building dedication service, using the video, he say hi and greetings to us. At that time, I could not dare to ask him to come because he was such a busy man. But this year, because of our CCACA 50th anniversary, so he's in town. And he actually wants to come to our church and worship with us. So what a wonderful privilege to have him. He kept telling me that I'm his friend, so I suppose he's my friend. And I just want to let you know, after the worship service, he loves to hug people. So he might not want to shake hands with you, and he just want to hug you. So if you do not like being hugged, you can just say. Other than that, I'm sure it's very hard to say no to him, you know, when he wants to hug you. I just want to give the time to our president.
Come here. There you go. Bless you. Bless you. Well, it really is a delight for Agnes and I to be with you. And sorry I could not be at your grand opening of this lovely facility, but we were able to come via video, and now we're here in person to say congratulations. And buildings are great gifts, but it's what happens inside the building that is so important. And a building can either be life-filled or lifeless, depending on the people. And the experience we had this morning with the first congregation and now with you today, we sense there's great life here. And we're praying that even today, God would bring fresh blessing, fresh power upon you as a congregation. And I'd like to appreciate both your pastor and also Pastor Henry. They are good men of God, and I just want us to affirm them and say, thanks for your good leadership. We love you. We really love you. So I arrived early. By the way, if I walk down here, will that freak anybody out? Won't, will it? Good. I do move around a lot when I preach, and I remember I was preaching in one of our Alliance churches, and halfway through my sermon, a woman stood up and actually ran out of the congregation. Now, when you're preaching, that's a little concerning, right? So after the service was over, I went out into the foyer, and I found this lady, and I said, are you okay? And she said, oh, Dave, I was really enjoying your message, but you were moving around so much, I got motion sickness, and I had to go throw up. So if any of you are prone to motion sickness, just put your head between your legs. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. I arrived early this morning and did a prayer walk around the outside of your building. And I just want you to know what I prayed for you this morning. I prayed that the incredible love of God the Father would fall fresh on you. And that if any of you have arrived here this morning and you've got concerns in your heart and maybe fear or maybe chaos going on in your life, and you led us so well this morning, and my prayer is that the immense, overwhelming, uncontainable love of God the Father would just fall fresh on you today. And that even right now, you would be embraced with a sense of shalom, peace that comes from God. And then I prayed that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ would sweep over you like a mighty wave. Can I declare to you today, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Like, folks, this is radically good news. Your sins have been forgiven, and hallelujah, your shame has been taken away. And I want to declare over you as a congregation today that you are free in Jesus. You are. And then I like got really excited, and I should bring runners when I come to church, because then I could run the last lap around your church. And this is what I prayed. I said, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on this congregation today. That every place you put your foot, demons would have to flee in Jesus' name. Because they would recognize that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you. So I got to say this. I got to say it from my heart to you. Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church, English congregation, be fearless. Be fearless. May God fill you with such an overwhelming sense of holy boldness that we would take our cities in Jesus' name. Amen. As we arrived in Edmonton last night, I said, oh God, I just claim Edmonton. I claim the surrounding communities for the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, set people free. Redeem people in Jesus' name. May your church come alive for such a holy moment as this. Because you know what? I actually read the end of the book and we win. Amen? I just got to say that. Jesus is building his church and the gates of hell are not, and hallelujah, will not prevail against it. I want to invite you into Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, as for the next few moments we talk about holy fire. Come, breath. Come from the four winds. And enter into those who are slain, tired, dry. That they may live. And the breath came. Oh, the breath came to Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church. The breath entered in, and they stood to their feet, a vast army. Father, we do not want another religious gathering. What we long for more than anything else is a fresh encounter with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I began a ministry over 30 years ago, and I'm a BC kid, but my first ministry experience was actually in Ontario. I was a youth pastor in a small alliance church, and one of my first duties was to look after junior high boys in a junior high boys Bible camp. Now, junior high boys are very interesting creatures, are they not? Yeah, you never quite know what you're going to get. And this particular camp wasn't going overly well. The boys were really lethargic. They weren't overly interested in spiritual things. And so as we came to the end of the camp, I was in charge of the closing campfire, and I thought I had a brilliant idea. I was going to tell the story of Elijah calling down fire from heaven. But before the boys arrived, we put all of the logs in a fire pit, and we covered them with gasoline. And then we attached a wire to one of the logs, and it went up into a tree where we hid one of our youth workers. And on that wire was a toilet paper roll also doused in gasoline. This is how it was going to go. I was going to tell the riveting story of Elijah calling down fire from heaven. And when we would come to that climactic moment, the boys would look up in the sky. They'd see a spark. Oh, no, they'd see a flame. And the flame would come down, hit the fire pit, there would be a mammoth explosion, and junior high boys would give their hearts to Jesus. I thought it was a brilliant strategy. By the way, do not try this at home. Everything was arranged. The boys arrived. They were filled with anticipation, flashlights in front of their faces. And as I engaged in telling this story, I got a little long-winded, and all of the gas in the fire pit actually evaporated. And so when we came to that climactic moment, the boys looked up in the sky. They saw a spark. Oh, no, they saw a flame. And the flame came down, hit the fire pit, and immediately went out. And I still remember one of the junior high boys from the back of the group yelled out in a loud voice, "Great story, but where's the fire?" Never forgotten that. Because I travel around and speak in a lot of different places. Sometimes I find myself asking the same question. Oh, great facility, but where's the fire? Oh, amazing worship, but where's the fire? Incredible preaching, but where is the fire? The manifest presence of Jesus Christ that transforms fear-filled disciples into faith-filled revolutionaries for the kingdom of God. I am a man on a mission, unapologetically so, to call the Christian and Missionary Alliance back to its fundamental roots of a spirit-empowered, mission-focused movement. This is our time. What's happening around the globe today has opened up the opportunity to reach people who had never been accessible to the name of Jesus. Now they are becoming accessible. And as God is shaking the globe, I'm praying, oh God, shake your church in Canada. Shake us to the core. And wake us as a mighty, profound movement of fire-filled men and women. The Alliance has always been a fire-filled movement. From the very beginning, A.B. Simpson said these words. He said that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can no longer live for yourself. You actually want to give your life away in service and sacrifice, the way that Jesus gave his life away. He went on to declare, oh, he said, I thought I was filled with the Holy Spirit, but he said, I wasn't filled to overwhelming. I wasn't filled to overflowing. He said, it's like I had a little bit of the ocean in a bottle. But God actually wanted to put the bottle into the ocean. And I wonder if at this time in our history as the Christian and Missionary Alliance, if God isn't saying to his church, will you expand the capacity of your soul? I want to do so much more of my glory, my power, my holiness, my joy, my faith, my courage. I want to give that to you as a church. Would you open your heart to receive more? And so my message for you this morning is very simple. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? You see, I'm convinced that in Canada, in our churches, we actually do not need better strategies. We don't even need more effective methods. I'm not sure we need a more compelling vision. But what we are desperate for in the Alliance churches in Canada are men and women full of the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what we're desperate for today. So, the words of John are very powerful. John the Baptist said, and he, Jesus, will ignite the kingdom of God within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. Simpson said it this way, that the message given to the Christian Missionary Alliance is a message that is steeped in the Holy Spirit, a message that leads men and women to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit without exaggeration, without fanaticism, without unscripturalness of any kind. All that power can be, and yet with a sane mind. I tell my daughters, if I ever get a tattoo, that'll be the one. Isn't that good? All that power can be, and yet with a sound mind. Because Simpson knew this, that mission without holy fire would only lead to humanitarianism. We would do a lot of good things, but nobody's life would be changed for eternity. He also knew that holy fire without mission would lead to fanaticism. It would just get weird. But here's the powerful truth. This is the heart and soul of the Christian Missionary Alliance, that holy fire coupled together with mission leads to revolution. And if there has ever been a time for revolution, it is now. But you know what I've discovered? In many of our Alliance churches, we've actually become afraid of our own theology. And we're so afraid of wildfire, or we're so afraid of false fire, that we've actually accepted no fire and treated that as normal. Can I declare this over you today? I actually still believe in something known as holy fire. Amen? And people say to me, David, aren't you afraid of the excesses in the Christian Missionary Alliance? I am not afraid of the excesses in the Christian Missionary Alliance. What I'm afraid of is spiritual death. That's really hard to recover from. Folks, we are people of the Word. Amen? We are people who are people of discernment. And hallelujah, when the Holy Spirit comes with fire, he always exalts Jesus. It doesn't get better than that. And so I just want to breathe over you today and say, is this not a grand moment to be gathered in the presence of God and say, Holy Spirit of the living God, come and fill us afresh. So this is my heart for you today. God is calling us into a fire-filled encounter of Christ revealing, heart reviving, sin defeating, and hallelujah, boldness producing Holy Spirit power. In Exodus, when God came down upon Mount Sinai, it says that the mountain was covered with smoke because God had come upon the mountain in fire. in Acts chapter 2, when the 120 were gathered together in the upper room, and they were told to wait in the city of Jerusalem until they were endowed with power from on high. All of a sudden into that room, imagine this, there comes a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And all of a sudden what appears over every one of those in the room is a tongue of fire. Do you know what those were? Those were mini Mount Sinai's. You see, God, who had come upon Mount Sinai with fire, was now coming upon individuals. This is amazing. That individuals were now being endued with a very holy fire of God. Can I proclaim this over you today? Some of you are trying to live the Christian life in your own strength and in your own power, and you're absolutely discouraged today. Stop it. There is so much more that God has for you. Friends, it's as we come in our brokenness, it's as we say, oh, we will die to ourselves and ask the Spirit of God to fill us to overflowing and to overwhelming, that we know what it is to live in victory. This is the heart of our movement. This is the heart of our mission. So what does that actually look like? Follow me into Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. When the holy fire of God falls, the supernatural power of God is actually unleashed. It's 3 in the afternoon, and Peter and John are heading up to the temple to pray, as was their custom. They go through the gate beautiful, and there they encounter a man who's been crippled since birth. He's 40 years old. Now, I say to myself, how many times had they gone through that same gate? How many times had they seen that same man? What is different today? They are men full of the Holy Spirit and fire. And I am convinced that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will see your world differently. Amen? Wherever you go to school, wherever you work, the neighborhood in which you live in, you will have eyes to see the supernatural power of God. You will pray like you've never prayed before. You will hope like you've never hoped before. And you will know the supernatural power of God. So Peter looks at the man, and he looks at them, and Peter says these startling words, "Look at us." Now, I don't know about you, but if you're begging for the very sustenance of life and two guys that seem like they have a little bit of money ask you to look at them, you're thinking Lotto 649, right? This is going to be a great day. He has no idea how good it's going to get. Peter looks at him and says, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And all of a sudden, this man, who has felt nothing but powerless, he's felt these anemic legs for 40 years, feels a surge of strength come through those legs. Those ankles course with energy. And all of a sudden, I love the Bible. It doesn't say he gradually stood to his feet. No, the Bible says he jumped to his feet. And he begins to leap and praise and adore God. This is an intervention of God's supernatural power. The Alliance has always believed from its very beginning in a supernatural God and in supernatural things. And I want to declare over you today, do we still believe in supernatural things? Oz Guinness, a sociologist from the U.S., said these words. He said, "Much of the Western church is operationally atheist." A startling statement. What's he saying to us? He's saying, oh yes, we believe in all the right things, but we don't expect God to show up anymore with supernatural power. Oh, I love what Andrew Murray said. 1901, standing in front of a group of missionaries in the Congo, he said, "The key to the missionary problem is the missionaries." How dare he say that? And then he went on to declare these words. He said, "Because they believe in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, but they lack the encounter." There should never be a Christian ministry that is not full of the presence and the power of God. That's what I want for our churches. That's what I long for in the Christian Missionary Alliance churches, that we would not just have a good theology, amen, that we would actually have an encounter, an experience of the Holy Spirit that would revolutionize us from the inside out. I was preaching in one of our churches, and a woman had come in, and she was paralyzed on her right side. And she'd come in using a crutch. It was very awkward for her to find a place to sit. And as I came to that part of the message where I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk," God instantly healed her right in the congregation. And she knew she was healed, but she thought she better test it out. And so while I'm preaching, she makes her way out of the congregation, goes to the back of the church, and this is what I'm seeing as I'm preaching. right? And then all of a sudden, she's running at the back of the church like this. And I thought, I have never seen anything like this before. At the end of the service, I gave an altar call. She was the first one to come forward. And I remember her kneeling at the front, her crutch was beside her, and then she stood up and walked away, and she left her crutch at the altar. And so, being a very sensitive pastor, I grabbed her crutch and I walked over and I said, I'm sorry you forgot this at the altar. And I'll never forget, as her face lit up with praise, and she said, exactly. She said, God healed me today. And I remember her and her husband as they left the service that day. He had the crutch over his shoulder, like this trophy to the supernatural power of God. I want to declare over all of our Alliance churches that we need to declare war on the mood of non-expectation in our churches. Friends, we serve a supernatural God, amen? We ought to come to church and say, who's going to get healed today? Whose marriage is going to get healed today? Whose sons and daughters are going to come home today? I want to fill our churches with radical expectation in the supernatural power of God. I got a call from one of our pastors who said, David, there's been an outbreak of healing in our church. I thought, you know what? This is going to be a really good conversation. They're a small ethnic church, and he said, you know, we were reading together the book of James about praying and anointing for people for healing, and one of my elders said, we've never done that before. And another elder said, well, why don't we do that next Sunday? And a third elder said, well, what kind of oil should we use? And a fourth elder said, well, Costco's got really good oil. Let's go buy oil from Costco. They buy 4 liters of cooking oil from Costco. That Sunday, the pastor preaches on healing, and the entire church came forward. One elder dragged 4 liters of cooking oil to the top of the platform, and as they anointed and prayed for everyone, everyone was healed. It was unbelievable. People who had chronic illnesses were instantly delivered in Jesus' name. People who had physical pains and aches were delivered. There was one woman who had a skin disease, and they watched as God reformatted the skin on her arms and on her legs into that which was beautiful. I stood in front of this woman. There were tears streaming down her face, and she kept saying over and over again, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Friends, I know God doesn't heal in every situation. I know it's not about the healing, it's about the healer. I know that it's about that which brings glory to God. But in the Christian and Missionary Alliance, I think we give up too soon. And unless God says he's not going to heal us, then we keep asking, we keep hoping, we keep believing, we keep trusting, and we keep asking because we believe that our God is still a supernatural God. And when the holy fire of God falls, the supernatural power of God is unleashed. But it gets better. When the holy fire of God falls, our hearts actually get revived. Now, a large crowd begins to gather. It says they run to a place called Solomon's Colonnade. And as the crowd begins to gather, Peter decides this would be a good time to preach. Fellas, this would be a good time to preach. Amen? And what does he say? Fellow Israelites, why are you so surprised? Why are you staring at us as someone by our godliness or our power that this man has been healed? And then hear his words. Know this. It is the God of Abraham. It is the God of Isaac. It is the God of Jacob. It is the God of our fathers who has glorified his servant Jesus. Don't you wish there were music behind some of those scripture texts like, ba-boom, this is good. And then he goes on to declare, this is the punchline of his message. Right in Jerusalem, the very place where Jesus has been crucified, this is what he declares, you killed the author of life. That's bold preaching. But God has raised him from the dead. And we are witnesses of that fact. Repent, therefore. Turn your hearts to God, that he may wipe away your sin, and that, hallelujah, times of refreshing would come from the Lord. Is that not what you long for in your church? Is that not what you long for in your fellowship groups? That times of refreshing, radical outpourings of God's Holy Spirit would come upon us. But let me declare this to you, that the power of God's Spirit always comes in direct relationship to repentance. It's as we repent that God fills. D.L. Moody put it this way. He said, before we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to empty us. Amen? That's a good word. I'm going all over and preaching in our churches, and this is one of my themes, that the Christian Missionary Alliance will not have any secrets. Folks, secrets, hidden sin is killing us. Because what hidden sin does is it breeds shame in our life, and shame robs us of our spiritual authority. I have a good friend who's been a bachelor for years, and one of the reasons he's a bachelor is because he's the messiest housekeeper you can imagine. There are times when he doesn't do his dishes for over 3 weeks. Get that picture in your mind. He said one day I was sitting in my apartment, and I was reading a magazine, and some friends dropped over for a surprise visit. And he said, by the time I let them into my apartment building, till the time they would actually get to my apartment door, he said, I had 60 seconds to clean up my kitchen. He said, I ran into my kitchen, took all of the dirty dishes off my counter, and stuffed them inside my oven. And then he said, I cleaned off the counter so that my kitchen looked absolutely pristine. He went and answered the door, and his friends came in and said, we've got pizza, but it's cold. Where's your oven? He said, the most humiliating moment of my life was pulling out all of my dirty dishes in front of my friends. Eminent Chinese Alliance Church, English service, what's in your oven? We can become masters of the image when there's all kinds of debris and clutter in our soul. And I just want to bring you such good news today. The best oven cleaner I know is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Oh, boy, he moves into all of those areas. And as we repent and as we lay them at the feet of Jesus, he comes with his cleansing power. And hallelujah, he sets us free. There's been a revival that's been happening in Cuba. It started with 20 Alliance pastors who had a radical vision to start a prayer movement, to have people praying every hour of every day, 365 days a year, for revival to come to Cuba. It spread to all of the other denominations, and Agnes and I were there for the first actual prayer summit sanctioned by a communist government. This had never happened in Cuba before. 450 pastors showed up representing 50 different denominations in Cuba, and the holy fire of God fell. And the first order of business was repentance, because all of these denominations had not liked each other. They had hurt each other. They had slandered each other. And in this radical act of repentance, they began to wash one another's feet in humility. The Pentecostals were washing the Baptists' feet. The Baptists were washing the Pentecostals' feet. The Alliance, we were completely confused. We washed everybody's feet. It was glorious. And in that holy moment of brokenness and repentance, the fire of God fell on those Cuban leaders. They stood together with one united voice. They began to say over and over again, Christ for Cuba, Cuba for the nations, Christ for Cuba, Cuba for the nations. And the Cubans are now ready to send out their first missionaries. And they are going to the Arab nations of the world, the hardest to reach peoples of the world. Friends, if God can take 20 ordinary Alliance pastors and he can start a movement of revival that sweeps over an entire island nation so that now they are sending out their first missionaries to the Arab nations of the world, then hallelujah, God can still bring revival to Canada. Amen? What if he wants to start here? What if right here in Edmonton, what if right in this church that God wants to spring forth a fresh anointing of his Holy Spirit, a fresh radical move of his Spirit that renovates our souls and sets us free and fills us with holy fire. Which leads me to my last point. When the holy fire of God falls, our mission to the nations becomes revitalized. If you go into chapter 4, immediately three arch enemies become fast friends. The temple guard, the Sadducees, and the priests, they do not like each other. But now they've found an enemy far greater than each other. It's the fact that Peter and John are proclaiming Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So they throw them into jail, and the next day they bring all of the theological heavyweights for an inquisition. And this is the question they ask Peter and John. It's a great question. By what power and in what name was this man healed? Look at what the Word of God says. Now Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, don't miss this, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, rulers and elders of Israel, if we are being called into account for an act of kindness shown to a lame man, and if you are asking us how it is that he has been healed, Then know this, you and all of Israel, it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Ba-boom! He was the stone that was rejected, but now he's become the cornerstone. For salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mankind whereby you must be saved. And I love this next part. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and recognized that these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Would it be cool if a local newspaper did an article on the Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church? And that the byline of that article simply read this, Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church, they must be hanging out with Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful? The only explainable explanation for the power, the glory, the passion, the inspiration is that you as a congregation must be hanging out with Jesus. Well, I feel bad for these religious leaders because the guy who is healed won't go home. And so they anemically say to Peter and John, you can no longer preach or teach in the name of Jesus. And the response is stunning. Peter says, you're going to have to make a judgment call, whether we will obey you or whether we will obey God. But we cannot help but speak about the things we have seen and we have heard. So here's my vision for Canada. Would it not be cool if, imagine every coffee shop right around Canada, and there's a Christian in that coffee shop, and that the conversation in the coffee shop is not about politics, is not about the economy, is not about the Edmonton Eskimos or the Oilers. The conversation is actually about Jesus, because Christians can't help it. They just can't help but speak about the things that they have seen and the things that they have heard in Jesus. When Peter and John go back to the church, now the church is under persecution. And I love the response of the church. This is what their prayer is. Oh, Lord, consider their threats. They're real. But enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch forth your hand and heal. Perform signs and wonders in the humble name of your holy servant Jesus. And the place in which they were meeting was shaken. Okay, I'm going to let it out. Wherever I go in our Alliance churches, I pray, oh God, shake us. Shake us. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. I still long for the moment when I'm preaching and an entire congregation gets filled at once. Wouldn't that be so amazing? That happened in the New Testament. Entire groups of people got filled with the Holy Spirit all at once. For what purpose? To proclaim the word of God with boldness. The very strategies that Satan wants to use to defeat your life right now become the very fuel that actually ignites fresh passion for the king and the kingdom. We are seeing a revival in northern Iraq. You're not going to hear this on CNN. But right now, we are seeing more Iraqis and more Kurds come to Jesus Christ than at any other time in human history. Jesus is showing up in visions and in dreams. Jesus is actually giving to people addresses of local churches where they can go and get baptized. We have seen an unprecedented outpouring of God's Spirit. And we have four churches. You may not know this. We have four churches in Iraq. We have one in Baghdad, one in Erbil, one in Mosul. Now, you've heard a lot about Mosul. Mosul is Nineveh. Jonah is buried there. Our pastor of the Erbil Alliance Church, his name is Malath. He's a Ninevite. Every time I hug Malath, I whisper in his ears, thank you, Jonah. This is amazing. Our congregation in Mosul fled when ISIS came in. And they arrived in Erbil, and this is a picture of our congregation in northern Iraq in Erbil. Do you see fear in their faces? I don't. They are saying to us, we do not want to immigrate out of our country. We believe this is the moment we've been praying for. More of our friends and more of our family are coming to Christ now than at any other time in human history. Please pray for us. Please pray that we'll have holy boldness. And when I was there humbly preaching in their midst, I felt the room shake. I felt them filled with the Holy Spirit. and your brothers and sisters right now in a war zone are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And the word on the street is this: ISIS is doing the preaching, we're doing the baptizing. This is an opportunity of unprecedented opportunity for the gospel. There's a group in northern Iraq known as the Yazidis. 650,000. They have no witness of the gospel. They all came to a place called Duhok in northern Iraq. We have an alliance church in Duhok. And so we were there and we were handing out blankets and we were demonstrating the love of Jesus. We could not give them our Bibles, but we could let them steal our Bibles. It was wonderful. We had a table full of Bibles and we'd turn our backs and they would grab our Bibles and they would run away and we'd say, "Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." For the first time in northern Iraq, the Yazidis are reading the Word of God. They are coming to Christ. We are now on the verge of planting the first church among the Yazidis of northern Iraq to the glory of God. That is your church. This is unbelievable. This has never happened in human history before. Why is my call for revival in Canada so strong? Because, friends, the nations of the world await a revived church. Amen? They're ready. Many of them are coming to Canada right now. They're ready. They can't see churches with business as usual. They have to see us filled with holy fire. I conclude with this. My mother is probably the most on-fire woman I know. She's 89 years old. A month ago, she just moved into our basement, and the temperature in our house went up. It's wonderful. Before that, she was living in Abbotsford in a small ground-level apartment. And every day, my mom would talk to her friend Phyllis on the phone. And Phyllis is deaf, and my mother is deaf. Can you imagine that conversation? They are yelling at each other over the phone. So my mom is yelling at Phyllis, and Phyllis is yelling at my mom. And a young man high on drugs actually breaks into my mom's ground-level apartment, goes by the room where she's yelling at Phyllis, goes into her bedroom, steals all of her money, all of her jewelry, and her car keys, goes into the underground parking, finds my mom's car, starts it up, drives it through the big iron gate in the underground parking. There is a huge crash. Everybody in the building hears it except my mother. The police are called. Within 30 minutes, they catch the thief. They get my mom's money back, her car back, her jewelry back. My mother does not even know she's been robbed. When Constable Frank shows up at the door, he says, "Don't worry, Mrs. Hearn, you've been robbed, but we've got your car back, we've got your jewelry back, and here's your $35. And my mom said, "But I only had $25. And the police officer said, "You keep it, dear, you keep it." Fast forward 3 months. My mom finds out the young man is going to plead guilty and be sentenced to jail time. She phones me and says, "David, I want to go there to that sentencing hearing." I said, "Mom, why do you want to go?" She said, "I want to be able to tell that young man that I forgive him and that I'm praying for him." I said, "Okay, Mom, we'll go." We found the right courtroom, right date, and on one side of the courtroom was my mother, my middle daughter, and me, and on the other side of the courtroom was the young man's mother, and while we're waiting for the judge to come, in comes the young man's lawyer. I immediately recognize him. He's a friend of mine. He's a part-time pastor, part-time lawyer. How that works out in the economy of God, I'm really not sure. He's very good at both. And he said, "David, what are you doing here?" I said, "It looks like your client robbed my mother." He goes, "Oh, no." He says, "Why is your mom here?" And I said, "My mom wants your client to know that she forgives him and that she's praying for him." Judge comes in, all rise. Young man comes in behind a glass enclosure with a sheriff beside him. And immediately my friend, the lawyer, went to the podium and said, "Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a special privilege," and it was granted. He said, "I want to introduce you to Mrs. Hearn. She's the victim." He said, "I have been a lawyer for years, and whenever the victim shows up in the courtroom, it's because they want to make sure the perpetrator gets the full extent of the law." But he said, "Mrs. Hearn is here for a different reason. She wants my client to know that she forgives him and that she's praying for him." After that, that lawyer went to my friend, the judge went to my friend, the lawyer, and actually said this. He said, "I hate people of faith. They make my job so difficult." Isn't that great? The judge said to the young man, "You stand to your feet." This is powerful words from a judge. He said, "Today in this courtroom, you've been offered a moment of mercy. And I'm going to only sentence you to half the amount of time I originally was because of Mrs. Hearn. Now, what do you need to say to her?" This 21-year-old kid looks at my mother and goes, "I'm really sorry." And my mother jumps to her feet and goes, "It's all right, you're forgiven." It was such a cool moment. Court's dismissed. My mother walks over to the young man's mother, wraps her arms around this lady, and says, "I'm going to be praying for your boy." And she prayed for this young man for 8 years. Last year, I got an email from the lawyer that said, "You know that young man that robbed your mother 8 years ago? He's now become a believer, and he's going to get baptized. Would it be possible for your mom to come to his baptism?" So there he is. This is Clark, the guy who robbed my mom. And next to him is his own mother. Now, this is what the lawyer said. "It was the most amazing baptism my wife and I have ever experienced. Clark brought 10 of his unsaved friends, and most surprising of it all was that his mother was not only there, but had seen the change in Clark, started attending church, and became a Christian 5 weeks ago. She got baptized too, so I included pictures of her baptism as well. They gave their testimonies. It was a blessed event. Thanks so much to your mom for the role she played in Clark's life. He thought it was really cool that I'd be sending her pictures of his baptism." I got a hold of Clark's contact information, and I said, "Clark, is there any way you could come and visit my mom?" He said, "I'd love to." And so, when I was out visiting my mom, Clark came over. Now, this is the very place of the crime. This is the place he robbed my mother. Okay? And for 3 hours, Clark shares his testimony. He said he was in jail, and a Christian came and shared Jesus with him. And he said that day, he said he went through the one-step program. He said God delivered him from alcohol, from drugs, and pornography in a moment, and God filled him with his Holy Spirit. And we just watched this guy. He was so animated and alive in the presence of the Spirit. And then he kind of smiled, and he said, "But Mrs. Hearn, I did rob some more houses after yours." And he said, "I still have to go back to jail for a little bit more time." But then he took a deep breath and he said, "But I no longer go back as a prisoner." He said, "I now go back as a preacher." My mother says, "If you're going back as a preacher, then you better be commissioned." That's what she's doing right here. This is my mom, and this is what she's praying in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Fill Clark with your Holy Spirit. I commission him to the ministry that you've called him into. Bless him. Empower him. Unleash him in Jesus' name. Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church, when the place of the crime becomes the place of commissioning, you know that holy fire has come. Amen? That's what I want for us. That's what I want for this movement. A radical downpouring of the holy fire of God that would transform us from the inside out, that would make us men and women of radical faith, men and women who still believe in the supernatural power of God, who have been revived from our soul, and who are busy about reaching the nations of the world in Jesus' name. That's us. So I invite you to stand. I want to give you a gift today, and it comes all the way from Cuba. And no, it is not Cuban cigars. Sorry about that. It is like so much better. When Agnes and I were leaving Cuba, 20 of our pastors stood around us. And I'll never forget this holy moment when one of them cupped his hands like this, and he said, "David, I want you to imagine the flame of revival that's come to Cuba." And then he asked me to cup my hands in a similar fashion, and I'll never forget as he walked over towards me. It was a beautiful moment, and he put the flame in my hands. And then he said these profound words. He said, "Could you take that back to Canada? They really need it there." Can you believe he said that? And I looked at him, and I said, "Oh, my dear brother, I really need it here. I do not want to lead a denomination on yesterday's anointing. I don't." I said, "Oh, God, I just want to be filled with your Spirit again." I pulled the flame into my chest, and I said, "Oh, Spirit of the living God, come, fill me. Fill me with fresh fire." So I'm going to dare you today. I'm going to dare you to cup your hands just like this. And I'm going to bring you the fire of revival, but it can't just sit in your hands. Here's what I'm going to dare you to do. Pull it into your chest and say, "Spirit of the living God, fill me." For some of you, you may never have been filled with the Holy Spirit before. I am so glad you came to church today. This is a profound moment in your life to simply surrender and say, I am desperate for you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me. For those of you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit, how about you just say to Jesus, I want a little more? This is the one time you actually get to be greedy in your spiritual life. I just want more. And then to pray this radical prayer, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, and whenever you want me to do it, my answer right now in advance is yes. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. I give you the flame. I give you the flame. I give you the flame. In the quietness of this moment, I know right now there are some of you who you need to seal this moment with an act. You need to come forward. And I'm going to invite you just to come from wherever you are, and we're going to declare this to be a safe place right here where I'm standing. And I'm going to invite you to come and just kneel before God and to just pour out your spirit, pour out your heart. Say, Spirit of the living God, come and fill me. Some of you may just want to come and be prayed for healing. There'll be people to pray for you. Some of you just know that your spirit is so dry and you just long for more. And so I invite you, church. I invite you wherever you are.